الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين صدق الله العظيم علماء الكرام most respected brothers and those listening over the receivers Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has declared very clearly and openly in the Quran Sharif that Shaitan is the enemy of man. Due to his pride, due to his arrogance, due to his rejection of a hukam of Allah Ta'ala, an order and a command of Allah Ta'ala to bow down to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Shaitan, who was making so much of ibadat, that he was rejected. He became shaitan rajim. So his ibadat was not sufficient to protect him from rejection because he rejected the command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala out of pride. The abundance of ibadat, the abundance of worship, so much so that he lived amongst the angels, but that was not good enough for his rejection by Allah Ta'ala because he rejected the command of Allah Ta'ala due to arrogance, due to pride. One sajda he did not make to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, which was the command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to him to do that. And he became rejected for life. So who are we to claim that a little bit of ibadat is sufficient? We make a little bit of ibadat and we get so much of arrogance and so much of pride in our hearts that we consider ourselves superior to everyone else. And that pride reflects in our attitude towards people, in our dealings with people, and that pride comes through different angles. But now that is not my subject. What I want to get across to you is this, that Shaitan rejected a command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so his abundance of ibadat did not save him from rejection. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us also many, many commands. Now some of those commands we break due to our laziness. Some of those commands we break due to what we term as temptations. Some of those commands we break due to what we say is the environmental pressure. So alhamdulillah, to some extent we are not breaking those commands out of pride and arrogance, that we do not want to accept the order of Allah Ta'ala. It is not like Shaitan who rejected it due to pride. Although amongst mankind also, amongst the believers also, amongst the Muslims also, there are so many of them who do not want to accept the command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, even though you quote the Quran Sharif, you can quote number of hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but their pride does not allow them to accept it. And they reject it. They will not say that it is our weakness, it's our shortcoming, it's our fault, we were tempted. They will reject it, they will find some kind of justification for their sin. Now that is a very dangerous thing. So in these days now, when we are coming very close, or in fact we are already in the holiday season, and we know that the newspapers, the radio, the television, everything will call us towards sin. They have already begun calling, and they will increase the momentum as the Christmas season comes. Already certain things are happening which are very shocking. But this is to be expected. It happens all the time, especially when this end of the year holiday season comes. So there will be all kinds of attractions and distractions for the believer. They will be calling him towards the cinemas, the advertisements will be inviting him towards the theaters, towards the discos, towards the rave clubs, at the beachfront where all kinds of sporting activities by nude and semi-nude people will take place. Everybody is going to be invited. Then there will be matric balls and parties. Everything in this season is going to be inviting towards nothing but sins. Now at such a time, it becomes extremely important for the person who believes in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala not to justify his sins in the first place. He should be totally away from those places and totally away from all those haram activities. But if for some, due to some weakness of his, if he got caught up in something, then don't find any kind of justification. Sincere repentance and tawbah, and firm determination and intention not to return to those places. But as we are coming closer and closer from now, if we make the effort to restrain ourselves, the benefit is going to be to no one else but ourselves. If we don't want to make our lives miserable, unhappy, restless, full of anxiety and worries, then there is no other solution except that we stay away from that which is haram and displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. Look, if a person has got a problem with his eyes, his sight is bad, he cannot see, or is suffering from some disease of the eye, and as a result, he's experiencing great amount of restlessness. Even if you put a speck of dust into the eye, the person will start experiencing restlessness. Or if the person has got a toothache, now those who have had severe toothache, if you tell that person that what is so serious, just one tooth is aching and you're making such a big fuss, then that person will say, only I know what I am going through. So if the person has got a sickness or has got a disease or has got a problem with the eye, then even if his ears are listening properly, his tongue is speaking properly, his hands are functioning well, his feet are walking right, but then too he is not going to get peace and happiness and satisfaction. That restlessness is not going to go, which is in his heart, because the eye is not yet right. So just one part of the body is aching or paining, but the whole body is feeling the pain. Now if that person, somebody has to tell him, but what are you moaning and groaning for nothing? Everything else is okay. He says, yes, but I can only get the benefit of the sight and the comfort of my eyes if that sickness or disease of the eye is gone. So just like that, the heart is also a part of the body. Now who can deny that the heart is a major part of the body? Now no matter how much of happiness you give to your hands, and how much of happiness you give to your lips, and how much of happiness you give to your eyes, and how much of happiness you give to your feet, and how much of happiness you give to your tongue by indulging in haram, but the heart, which is a part and a very important part of the body, it is not going to enjoy any kind of peace and happiness. That restlessness will remain there. That compass has turned the direction. It's no more facing the north, the true north. So therefore now that needle is going to keep on moving, and it's not going to come steady until we bring it back in the right direction. So the heart is not going to enjoy any kind, and we are talking about the hearts of the believers. We are not talking about the hearts of those whom Allah Ta'ala Himself has made this dunya a jannat for them. This dunya is a jannat for the disbelievers. They must get somewhere, whatever they are doing good, they must get some reward somewhere. For the believers, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them a kind of jannat on this earth too, and a real jannat in the akhirat. But the true jannat is in the akhirat. Here there will be restrictions, there will be some kind of limitations, there will be some kind of borders that the person is told that you cannot cross this border, you cannot go across here, you cannot go across here. You can eat this, you can drink that, but you cannot drink alcohol and wine and brandy. You can have relationship with your wife, but you cannot have illicit relationship with other haram women, those women who are haram for you. Now all those limitations and borders are there. So we are talking about the hearts of the believers, those who have said that we have believed in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I am addressing such people who are believers in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at present. So therefore these hearts will never ever enjoy a kind of sukoon and peace and tranquility, because it is a major part of the body, and the heart sukoon only comes, it only comes when the person restrains himself from that which is displeasing to the Creator, and he does that which is pleasing to the Creator. That is the bottom line. That heart will never otherwise enjoy any kind of permanent peace and tranquility and serenity. The outside conditions will affect it to such an extent that this person will then definitely contemplate suicide, or his life will become a life of complete restlessness. So the incident of Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayhi comes to mind, in which I mentioned this some time back, and I think it's printed also, but it is related to the present time, this time of our holidays. That Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says that not a day goes past. Now this is not an ordinary person like us that is saying this, he's a great wali of Allah Ta'ala, and he says that not a day goes past that shaitan, who told Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that I will mislead from the right, from the left, from in front and from behind, shaitan asked for permission. He told Allah Ta'ala that I must be given permission, given long life, so that I may mislead the people from the front, from behind, from right, from left. Now these four directions he mentioned. He said that from these four directions I will mislead. The two directions that he missed out was from above and from beneath. So the awliya-i-kiram, the arif billahs, they have said that if you really want to protect yourself from the whisperings of shaitan and from the harm of shaitan and from the destruction by shaitan, then there are only two directions that are left. One is raise your hands above the heavens and plead to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and ask Him for protection. And the other is go down into sajda. اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر دل کو سجدے میں رو رو کے آباد کر اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر دل کو سجدے میں رو رو کے آباد کر دل کو نور تقوی سے تو شاد کر نفس دشمن ہے دشمن کو ناشاد کر says اپنے مالک کو اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر now get up at the night or put your head in the sajda, put your heart into sajda and beg Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection from these whisperings of shaitan. The heart will only enjoy comfort in taqwa. So he says, dil ko noore taqwa se tu shad kar. Nafs dushman hai dushman ko na shad kar. Make your nafs unhappy and please your Allah ta'ala. So Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi rahmatullah alayhi, he says that not a day goes past when shaitan comes to me from all four directions. Now who are we to say then that shaitan doesn't tempt us? He says, shaitan comes from all four directions. He says, he comes from in front of me and he says, oh Shaqiq, there is a great wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He says that, why are you exerting yourself? What is this all the time? Namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, ibadat, tilawat, zikr, all these type of things. Why do you do all that? Allah ta'ala is ghafoorul rahim. Allah ta'ala is ghafoorul rahim. So you don't have to worry about all that. Allah Ta'ala is very forgiving, very merciful. So why must you worry about namaz, roza, zakat, hajj? So Allah Ta'ala is ghafoorul rahim. So he says at that time, I say, yes, no doubt Allah Ta'ala is ghafoorul rahim. But for whom? وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِّمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا ثُمَّ اهْتَدَى. Allah Ta'ala is ghafoorul rahim. There's no doubt about it. But for the person who repents, the person who believes in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person who does righteous deeds, and then he stays constant on those righteous deeds until his dying day. Now this person accidentally he commits a sin, he makes a mistake, or he is unable to do justice to that ibadah, to that zikr, to that tilawat. He tries his level best to do everything that is right, but he slips, he falls, he errs because he's a human being. So now he doesn't lose hope in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness. He says Allah ta'ala is ghafoorul rahim. And not what shaitan whispers into our hearts, that Allah ta'ala is ghafoorul rahim. So therefore you must indulge in as many sins as you can whilst you are living, because Allah ta'ala is ghafoorul rahim. So that is that whispering of shaitan. He says he comes from the front and this is what he tells me. That means he whispers into my heart, and Allah Ta'ala has given him that authority and Allah Ta'ala has given him that capacity to whisper. So he says, this is what he whispers, so this is the reply that I give to him. I don't fall for that temptation. He says he comes then, he sees he has failed and he comes from my right. And now he tells me that, oh Shaqiq, he says, what is this all the time, halal, haram, halal, haram? How long are you going to be tied to halal and haram? Don't you know that you have grandchildren, you have great-grandchildren to worry about? I'm just giving an explanation. He says, don't you know that you have to take care of your wife, your children, your grandchildren and your great-great-great-grandchildren? You have to leave sufficient for them until their dying day also. So if you are going to be tied to halal, 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 then it will be very limited. You are not going to get that kind of billions that others are making. So don't be tied down to this halal haram all the time. Let it come from whichever source it comes, whether it comes through halal or haram. Halal haram, sab kuch andar, lekin hai phir bhi mast palandar. Let it come, don't worry, through the gambling dens, through the casinos, through the lottery tickets, through stealing, through fraud, through hijacking containers, whatever way it comes, as long as it comes, let it come. Take interest, no matter how much Allah Ta'ala may become displeased, but take. You'll have to enrich yourself. By tying yourself to halal, you will not become a multi-rich person like the others are becoming overnight. So therefore, he says, Shaqiq Balqi says that he comes and whispers that, how long are you going to remain tied to halal and haram? You too must just go for whatever is coming. Let it come. So he says, at that time I tell Shaitan, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no moving creature on earth, but that its risk and sustenance is with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I don't have to worry about my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Yes, within the parameters of Sharia, within the limits of Sharia, within the boundaries of Sharia, I will earn a living, I will go to the marketplace, I will open the business, I will conduct my business, or I will go to my profession, I will go to farming, whatever I am doing. But I will first find out what are the parameters, what are the boundaries, what are the limitations, what are the commands and the rules and hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And within that I will do, then Allah Ta'ala will give me how much He pleases. If Allah Ta'ala wants to make a person multi-rich, He can still make him in halal. In halal, how many people have become multi-rich? And if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to destroy, then with all the haram, He can still destroy the person. So it is not a question of halal, that if the person goes for haram, then he will become multi-rich. So he says, I tell Shaitan that you don't worry me and you don't whisper into my heart about my great-great-great-grandchildren. My duty is immediately I have to take care of myself, my wife, my children, but within the parameters of Sharia, within the ambit of Sharia, and I will conduct my business. And if millions of people in the world have, via halal, obtained sufficiency in their livelihood, and have not had any kind of problem, then why should I fear? My fear should be the future, the akhirat. That what will happen to me in future, in my qabr, in the akhirat, if I have to go there with all this lottery money and gambling money and interest money and all kinds of haram money. So he says, he comes from my right, and this is what he says. Then he says, when he fails and he comes through my left, and now he tells me, he says, oh Shaqiq, but you too are a useless person. He says, you are missing out on life. Look at the people, what kinds of sins they are enjoying. You just tied down to your one wife. Look at the haram enjoyment and pleasure people are getting. I'm giving you my explanation. How much of haram pleasure they are getting. They are going to the prostitute quarters. Every day they have got a new woman. Every day they have got a new woman in their life. And every day they are going to the cinemas and rave clubs and theaters and drugs and what vice scenes. And look at them, it seems that they're really enjoying themselves. Look how they're dancing and jumping and shouting and screaming and hooting and all kinds of things you are seeing with your eyes. It seems that there's real enjoyment and pleasure out there. And you seem to be tied to your namaz and to your zikr and to your tilawat and to your children and to your one family. You are tied to those halal entertainment and pleasures. Everywhere you are restricting yourself, restraining yourself. from those who are ghair mahram and strangers to you according to the Quran and Sunnah. You are controlling your gaze. Sometimes they are your cousins who are right in your home. But because Allah Ta'ala's hukam is that those cousins are also ghair mahrams. Like that the person will say, but she's my cousin, we grew up together. But afterwards when he falls in love with her and wants to marry her, then he will say, no, I can't marry her because she's my cousin. So they want to have it both ways. First they'll say, we grew up together, so what's the difference? We are just like brothers and sisters, although we are cousins, but we know what has happened and what is happening. But then suddenly when he wants to marry her and somebody says, but you all grew up together, he says, yeah, but she's my cousin. Doesn't Shariat say that I'm allowed to marry her? So who are we playing with? So now this person, this young person who is tempted sometime in his very home, where he's got a pretty young cousin, but he's controlling his gaze, he's controlling his nafs. So Shaqi Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that Shaitan says, how long are you going to keep controlling? Look at your life, it's becoming miserable. Because na'uzu billah, they don't know what is miserable. They don't know what enjoyment Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives to His awliya and to His friends. And especially to those young people who over a period of time they are exercising that restraint from haram. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is pouring the noor inside their hearts. His tajalli is descending in those hearts. In those broken hearts, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's tajalli is coming. The government declares a disaster area. Then my Shaykh says that once it's declared a disaster area, the government provides cement and sand for the reconstruction of those buildings which have been destroyed in that disaster. When the person has brought his heart into a disaster, it has become a disaster area, he has shattered his heart. People are going to run now in December to the rave clubs and to the cinemas and theatres and matric balls and all kinds of things. Now this young person, he's got the ticket also, he's got the invitation there. Even the girls are inviting him and said, come, come. Now at that time he says that, oh, never mind, you can say what you like, but my Allah will become displeased with me. So he has made his heart into a disaster area. And because it is shattered now, Allah Ta'ala is not going to give him cement and bricks and blocks to build up that heart. Allah Ta'ala will build up that heart of the person with his tajalli and with his noor. With the bricks of noor, Allah Ta'ala is going to build up that heart. And that experience only that person can tell you who has gone through it. We who haven't experienced it, how can we know what is kayfiyat and what is enjoyment in the heart when the person has learned to restrain himself from haram? Because we go headlong into haram, then what do we know? What is the difference? A person who wears a black overall all the time and works in a garage or somewhere, then even if you take a whole bottle of black ink and throw it onto his black overall, it's not going to show. But the person who's wearing white clothes, pure white, and you put one drop of ink on that, from a distance you will see and you'll tell me, Maulana, there's a black spot on your white kurta. So first we have to make those hearts white, then we will know what experience I'm talking about. Nevertheless, so he says, he comes from this side, and that is what he says. That how long are you going to restrain yourself? So he says, at that time I say, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. That person who feared standing before his Allah on the Day of Judgment, and he restrained his nafs from the evil passions and desires that were coming in that heart, the temptations, he restrained himself, he did not go for it, then Jannat is going to be abode in the hereafter. But that is the hereafter, what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, as I just explained, gives it to them even in this world. The time has expired. If Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives me life, health and an opportunity, inshallah we'll continue next week. So these temptations will be there, the invitation from all sides is going to come, that come and visit us, and sometimes that invitation will be in the name of Islam, and that is the most dangerous thing. That will be in the name of Islam that we will be called. Islamic this and Islamic that and Islamic that. Islamic fair, Islamic souks, Islamic this and Islamic that. Not long ago there was one souk that took place, one fair. And those young boys who now came out of sins, they were indulging in those sins too. They came out of those sins. And they started bringing about a change, a reformation and a transformation in their lives. So they were revealing what weakness and shortcomings. And they said, Maulana, we, a group of young boys, we actually went to that Islamic fair because the place there was very, very narrow and limited. and the crowd was chock-a-block, and mostly women with kurtas, with burqas and with niqabs and with cloaks. And we went for no other reason but to pretend that we are there, but we were rubbing ourselves against those Muslim women who had come in the name of Islam to go and make purchases at such a fair. We don't say it for them, it is haram to go to the marketplace and buy. But where does it say in any Sharia that keep, invite your ladies and your sisters and your mothers and everybody, call them over a long period of time, intermingle, have a social dinner and party, and there are plenty of food outlets, and enjoy yourself, don't worry, in the name of Islam. These things may not be palatable, it may not go down well under certain people's throats, but if we are not going to say these things, how are we going to stop people from going headlong, thinking that they are going for some Islamic purpose, whereas this is what is happening to their mothers and to their sisters and to their wives? Where is their shame? Where is their modesty? Where is their haya? If somebody has to tell me that your wife was there and that young person was rubbing himself against her, and if it doesn't create any kind of stir in my heart, then I must commit suicide and take my life. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us some kind of understanding. If we can't stop others, then stop ourselves. Wallah, I'm telling you, this is a very, very dangerous period of time that we are living in. Such fitnas are coming that we don't know from which side we are being lashed. When shaitan fails to take us to the cinemas, theatres and discos and raves, then he will take us to such kind of places and we will be quite comfortable. We will say we are going in the name of Islam. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me hidayat, give you hidayat, and give the entire ummah the hidayat and the tawfiq to understand what is Islam, what is deen, what is sharia, and where lies our success, where lies our connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, where lies our peace of mind, happiness, satisfaction, contentment. Wa aqru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.